Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. It's good to be back here. Amen. Saw a lot of friendly faces. Saw some that I've never met before, and I'm not so sure you're friendly. But I'm sure you are. There's always a good spirit here, and I appreciate that. Sunday school class was excellent today, Brother James. By the way, if you don't come to Sunday school, you need to come to Sunday school. You really do. We are to be students of the Bible. And if you're not going to learn the Word of God, you're not going to grow spiritually. You really won't. And you ought to be in Sunday school to be taught. You ought to be reading and studying the Bible at home yourself. And if you are the head of a home, you ought to be teaching your family some truths in the Word of God. And in order to do that and be effective at it, you need to know it yourself. And the best way to know it is to be in a position, to be in a place where you're going to be taught that. And your church is the place to be taught the Word of God. I tell people it's kind of like a what happens is during the week, your Sunday school teacher and your preacher, whoever teaches you, they take the Word of God, they study it, they read it, they kind of chew it up and refine it, and they feed it to you because they've already processed it, they've already cooked it, if you would, they've already seasoned it, and they've already presented it. And this morning in Sunday school, Brother James took a couple of the words and he studied and told us what the words meant and everything. I think that's great. I love word studies and biographies, people studies, personnel studies, and that's the way you learn. You slowly learn. And I know if you're a young Christian, if you're fairly new to church and the Bible and everything, you might think, oh, there's so much there, I'll never learn it, but you will. But you have to put yourself in a position to where you will learn it. I've been studying this book for over 40 years now, and I've learned that the more I learn, the more I know, the more I realize how much I don't know. And it's always good. It's always rich. And I'd encourage you to do. It'll help you. It'll help you as a person. It'll help you in your walk with the Lord. It'll help you in your walk with other people. It really will. This book, it's not a magic book, but I guarantee you it'll do things in your life that you can't explain. But that's the way the Lord does it. Matthew chapter 12. I'm sure that all of you are wondering, why did I bring an apple? I'm not going to tell you. But in Matthew chapter 12, if you would, beginning in verse number 22, Matthew 12 and verse number 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil. One was brought unto him, the him is Jesus. One possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. Now, I'd say that was a miracle, wouldn't you? He healed him. Man, I'd like to have been a fly on the wall on that one. Just to be able to see what was going on and hear what was going on. Verse 23, and all the people were amazed, as they should have been, and said, is not this the son of David? They were certainly on the right track. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is coming to you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man? And then he will spoil his house. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We've read much this morning. And Lord, I pray that as we zero in on a passage, on a portion here, that you'll open our eyes to all of it. And Lord, I do not know the hearts of anybody here, but you do. You know the hearts of everybody. You know the needs of everybody. And I pray that you'll take your word this morning and use it to bring glory to yourself, that it will be good for us. It'll be a help in all of our lives to walk with you, in our walk with you, and to be a blessing to others. And we'll certainly thank you for how you're going to speak today, in Jesus' name, amen. Verse number 37, it says, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Now, the key to understanding this particular statement is keeping it in the context of the chapter. Many times, we will get into the Word of God and we'll take a verse out and we can make that mean just about anything we want it to mean. But we need to read the Bible when we read the Bible and study the Bible, and we see a verse that's a real blessing to us, and the Holy Spirit will do that, make it a blessing to you. It's good for us to understand something about that particular verse, why it's there, who wrote it, who was it written to, what were the circumstances surrounding it. That's called Bible study. And that's the way we are to understand this particular statement. In the previous verses that we began reading here in chapter 12 of Matthew, the Pharisees had accused Jesus of casting out devils by the power of Beelzebub. We read that in verse number 24. And Jesus himself labeled that change or that particular charge as blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. That was very, very serious. In fact, it was the most blasphemous thing that they could have said. They were literally accusing Jesus of being satanic. They were accusing him of being from hell and not heaven. I mean, they made no bones about it. They didn't like Jesus. And of course, if you know anything about the Bible and the New Testament, you know that many of them never did. And it cost him his life. It was so blasphemous what they said. Jesus said it would never be forgiven. Now, let me say this. If these individuals, these Pharisees, had repented and they would have expressed faith in Christ as their Messiah, as the Savior of the world, they would have been justified. Jesus said that. But they spoke words of unbelief. They spoke words of blasphemy and slander. And by their words, the Bible says they would be condemned. Verse 37, and by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now, it's not just that if you let certain words out of your mouth, see, that becomes a curse in your life. And based upon what you say, oh my goodness, I blew it, I'm going to go to hell. No, that's not what this is referring to. You see, it is your words that reveal your heart. See, the words that we speak are the expression of what's in us, of the corruption that's inside of us. And that, my friend, is what condemns us. If you look at verse number 34, O generation of vipers, he says, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? In other words, what he's saying, that's an impossibility. Amen. Of those who are evil to speak good things. You can't do it. How can you do that? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Amen. What you say, what I say, comes from the heart. We try to mask it, and sometimes we do a good job. Right. We try to put on, as they say in the old times, they put on the dog, okay? We try to fool everybody. And we do a pretty good job of it from time to time. We really do. And there's no better example of this than the Pharisees, because they were so self-righteous. And as you read the Bible, you find that they were very wordy. Oh, they knew how to talk it. I mean, think about this. Think about who the Pharisees were. They thought they were somebody. They thought they were the most spiritual. And they were just full of themselves. And what good is it? Think about this. What good is it to be so full of yourselves and not to tell the world around you how wonderful you are and how holy you are? I mean, what good is it if you're so full of yourselves and not tell somebody about it? Well, that's exactly what they did. They loved to talk. They loved to talk about themselves. They loved to talk about the knowledge that they had or thought that they had. And when they expressed their unbelief in Christ, their words condemned them, because it was out of their heart that they expressed their condemnation of Christ. And Jesus takes this occasion to teach them a very valuable spiritual lesson. You know, lost people need to have spiritual lessons too. And these Pharisees, they needed to be taught a very spiritual lesson as well. You see, and he was teaching them, God keeps a record of our words, and they will one day be used as our judge. Now, I don't know about you, but that scares me to death. You know, somebody says shut up, that's probably the best advice we can get, because of what this particular verse has to say. Now, I want you to consider three things this morning, and I won't take long, but I want you, first of all, consider who you are. Okay, now we've come to church, we want to hear from the Lord, I trust the Lord's going to use this today, but, you know, as God's people, we need to be honest with ourselves. We just need to be honest with ourselves. We need to be honest with everybody. But you know, a lot of times we try to be honest with others, but we end up fooling them because we're not really honest with ourselves. We need to, and number one, I want you to consider who you are. In verse number 33, it says here, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. In other words, if the tree is good, it's going to have good fruit. That's what it says. It's not rocket science here, okay? It's very simple here. If the tree is good, it'll have good fruit. If the tree is corrupt, it'll have corrupt fruit. See, the tree and the fruit are going to agree. And you can always tell the one by examining the other. And often it's obvious, and really not a whole lot of examination has to take place. The message to the Pharisees was that they had judged him evil, but Jesus was doing good. It didn't fit what he was saying. In other words, Jesus was basically saying, why do you say I'm evil and working by the power of Satan when what I am doing is not evil? How can all of these good things come from my life if I'm evil? Now, he's not puffing himself up. He's just stating the facts. If the fruit is a reflection of the tree, then are not my works, he said, a reflection of me? Now, they knew that the fruit is a reflection of the tree. They knew that corrupt trees produced corrupt fruit. They knew that good trees produced good fruit, and he knew exactly what he was saying. They didn't like it. They knew. If they were honest with themselves, they knew they were corrupt. Okay? They knew that. And I dare say, my friend, if we will be honest with ourselves this morning, we're going to know if we're corrupt or if we're not. Now, notice I didn't say perfect. Okay? The Bible talks about being perfect. But when the Bible talks about an individual being perfect, he's talking, the Holy Spirit is talking about being mature. That's what we're talking about, okay? Being mature. But we're not supposed to be perfect. Well, let me say this. We can't achieve perfection, but we can get closer than we are. And we ought to be closer than we have been. But the fact of the matter is, there's either corruption or there's goodness there. See, the practical application is that you are known by the fruit of your life. Now, somebody can say to you, Pastor Dave Carroll, boom, right away, you know the fruit of his life. And that says he is a rascal or he's a man of God. Personally, I think he's both. and there are other people where you work, when your name comes up, boom, they know, they have an opinion. Your testimony is based upon not so much how you look, but what you do, what you say, how you behave, how you react, and how you relate to individuals. See? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. As a person thinks in his heart, so is he. That's the way he behaves. See? Now, if we were to judge you just by your works, by your life, by your fruit, what kind of tree, if we were honest, what kind of tree would we rightly judge you to be? Everybody here is producing fruit. The question is, what kind? What kind of fruit is being produced by your life? Just let me ask. I don't know the answer to this for anyone in this room, but do you have any fruit of the love for Christ? Do you have any of that? You say, well, preacher, I want that. Okay, you want that. Do you have it? I want $1 million, but I don't have it. Okay. You want $1 million. Maybe you have it. See, when we talk about something like that, I like the word share. By the way, I'm not a socialist, okay? I'm not a socialist. I don't want you to think that at all. But listen, you're producing fruit, but what kind of fruit are you producing? Is there fruit of the love for Christ? Is there fruit of pursuing holiness in your life? Is there the fruit of the Spirit in your life? Now, I think as Christians, we want that. We desire that. But it's up to us, by yielding to the Holy Spirit, to produce that. See? As a man thinketh in his heart, what's the rest of that? So is he. So it comes from inside. See? And we need to consider who we are and be honest with ourselves. You see, if the fruit of your life is carnality and worldliness and selfishness and ingratitude and rebellion, then that fruit is corrupt. And if the fruit is corrupt, the tree, according to the scripture, is corrupt as well. And my friend, if your fruit is corrupt, you are corrupt based upon the scripture. But you can change that, see? You can change your life. You can improve your morals. You can produce some goodness. But may I say, my friend, your flesh cannot do what the gospel can do. You'll not improve upon the gospel. You can try and try and try and try, and you can succeed for a small amount of time in a small amount of areas, but your flesh cannot do what the gospel can do. You cannot save yourself. Only the gospel can do that. You cannot take yourself to heaven. Only the gospel can do that. You can do a lot of good works. You can refrain from doing a lot of bad things. But only the gospel will save your soul. Only the gospel will deal with your sin. Only the gospel will give you a hope of heaven. And only the gospel will give you a Savior, which is what we all need. See? And my friend, when Christ saves you, He begins to build in you a treasure store of good works. He begins to build in you some fruit that will be produced. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, many of you know it. Paul told the Philippians, he said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He begins that the day you get saved, the moment you get saved. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, again, you know this. Paul says this, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Not corrupt works, but good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What should we walk in? The good works. And we can do that not because we muster up the energy and so on. No, because He began that on the day that we got saved. At the moment we got saved, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us. He begins a good work, and that good work is His workmanship that the Bible says He created that in Christ Jesus. He created us in Christ Jesus unto good work. He does a good work in us. Why? So that we can produce good works. That's what He works in us for. You see, we are His good works. We are His trophies. See? And He wants us to live in that manner. And by the way, only He can do that. Only He can do that. I'll include myself in that. We can appear at times like we're gold, but I want to tell you something, it's fool's gold sometimes, okay? Some of you ladies have some really nice jewelry, right? Huh? And some of it looks expensive. But it's plastic. But it looks good. Amen? I mean, it looks good. But it ain't worth the material it's made of, to be honest with you. Okay? It's not the real thing. See, it might look like it, and you can fool your friends if they don't know, but you know it's not real. And you'd much rather have the real stuff, wouldn't you, ladies? Huh? How many of you ladies would rather have the real stuff? Can I see your hand? Fellas, take a look around. I'm costing you money this morning. And that's what God wants, the real stuff. And that real stuff is what he produces.
That's right.
He's the jeweler. Okay? He produces the real stuff. The Holy Spirit begins to produce the good fruit. Here's some good fruit. The good fruit of forgiving others. Hard to do by yourself, isn't it? The good fruit of a changed life. He does that. The good fruit of love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness. That's good fruit, isn't it? Oh, that's good fruit. See, the good fruit of compassion for sinners. The good fruit of compassion for your brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, the one thing that I hate to hear Christians say is if a brother or sister is going through a hard time, well, they just need to pull themselves up by the bootstraps. I want you to notice something. I don't have any bootstraps. No, what I need, my friend, is your compassion. Because if you haven't been where I'm at, you're going to be. And you're going to need my compassion. That's fruit. It's not natural to care about somebody else more than it is to care about yourself. See? That's fruit. See? The good fruit of holy living. I'm not talking about being holier than thou. I'm talking about being, just live a holy life. I mean, doesn't the Bible say, be ye holy, for I am holy? So therefore, he doesn't tell us anything that we can't do. It's an impossibility. We can be holy. It's not being self-righteous. It's not being super pious. It's just being honest with ourselves and being honest with God. We talk about asking asking God to fill us with the Holy Spirit. That means to control us. And by the way, when he controls us, he's going to lead us in ways that we would not choose. But it's the right thing. It's the right thing. See? And my friend, if conversion has never taken place, then we'll know it by your fruit. We'll know it by your fruit. We'll see the fool's gold eventually. Maybe not right away. But I'm going to tell you something. God sees it right now. See? Because man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart, which is out of the heart are the issues of life. And it takes us a while to see that. But God doesn't take him any time at all. He knows right away. See? What kind of fruit do you have? What about the dirty shows that you might watch on television or on the internet, on the computer? What about the filth that's out there? You spend time there? Nobody might know it. You do, if that's where you're at. What about the music you listen to? You say, well, you're getting a little closer to home here, preacher. Huh? I mean, you just listen to it. Does it honor and glorify the Lord? If it doesn't, I mean, you might like the rhythm, you might like the music itself, this tone and all, and that's fine. But the Bible says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You say, well, I don't know whether it glorifies God or not. Then get rid of it. Err on the right side. And that way you know that you're not dishonoring him. See? What about those lewd jokes and stories that you might tell at work? with your coworkers? What about the filthy language that comes out of your mouth? That you don't say at home, but you say it elsewhere. See? Good fruit, good tree. Corrupt fruit, corrupt tree. That's what the Bible says, does it not? Hey, we need to be just honest with ourselves. You don't have to tell me about it. You don't even have to tell the preacher about it. You just need to tell God about it. He already knows. You're not going to remind him of anything. But we need to be honest. Hey, consider who you are. Number two, consider what you say. Verse 34. Oh, generation of vipers, you bunch of snakes, is what he said. How can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. You see, they had accused Jesus of being evil despite the good life that he had lived. So now, Christ gives it back to them. Okay? He's just being honest. He's not being mean. He's just being honest. See? And he gives it back to them. He basically says to them, listen, we wouldn't expect to see anything but corrupt, polluted fruit come from your lives because you're evil to the core. You bunch of snakes, poisonous snakes. You open your mouth, out comes blasphemies. But that's to be expected because you are a corrupt tree. Jesus told these Pharisees that he'd been shocked to hear any good thing come out of their mouths because they were evil to the bone. And by the way, don't be surprised when your lost friends or lost family members or lost co-workers or lost fellow students, don't be surprised when corruption comes out of them. That's the fruit of corruption. You shouldn't do that. That's, you know, why do dogs bark? This ain't rocket science, folks. Why do dogs bark? Because they're a dog. Why do cats meow? Because you hit them with a car. No.
Amen. Amen.
That's good preaching, ain't it, brother?
That's
okay. Why do fish swim? Because they're fish. Why do birds fly? Because they're fly. Why do corrupt things take place? Because they come from corruption. Right? It shouldn't surprise us. What should surprise us is when those who claim to be Christ's children produce corrupt works. That should surprise us. You know what fool's gold does? You know why they call it fool's gold? Because it fools people. See? And trust me, in my Christian life, I have been fooled. And oh, that hurts. Man, that hurts. When you thought what you were seeing and what you were experiencing and what you were being a part of and welcomed into, when you thought it was that which God has ordained, and it was not. We've got to be honest with ourselves, and we need to consider what we say, and we see what Jesus said here. You see, we need to consider what we say because it reveals who we are. It's that simple. You know, I don't have to hear a man very long to know if he is spiritual or not, and neither do you. I mean, we don't have to hear him very long to hear and find out what kind of dirty things lurk inside his heart or what depth of spirituality he is made up of. It doesn't take long to see. By the way, I'm going to tell you what this apple's for. If I could squeeze this thing, I can't. I can't. It's pretty hard apple. But if I could squeeze this and squeeze it and squeeze it, what would come out of this? What is it? What? Apple juice. How many believe apple juice would come out of this? How many over here? Apple juice. Okay. Are you absolutely 100% sure? Because I brought this apple today. You want me to tell you what's going to come out if we squeeze this? The same thing that's going to come out of you when you're put under pressure. And you know what that is? What's going to come out of here is whatever is inside of here. And when you get put under pressure, you know what's coming out? Whatever's inside. Now, if I squeeze this, I'd sure like to get some apple juice. And if you got squeezed, there's some things I'd sure like to get out too. But more important than me is what God wants to get out. I believe there's apple juice in here. But what's inside of you? And my friend, I guarantee you, and you've probably already proven this on many occasions, that what is ever inside of you is what's already come out at times. See, and we need to do some house cleaning. We need to be seeking some forgiveness. We need to be asking God to cleanse our hearts, to fill us with the Holy Spirit. Because what comes out, not very nice sometimes, is it? How many know what I'm talking about? Yeah. We all are. We all are. Hey, we're all in the same family. If we're saved, we're all in the same family, aren't we? See? And brothers know brothers a little bit better than the outside family. See? And sisters know sisters, and sisters know brothers, and mom and dad, and so on and so forth. Because we see what comes out when the squeeze takes place. See? My friend, you have a treasure inside, and only what is inside you can come out. Is if your heart is full of the gospel of Christ, if your heart is full of the love for Christ, if your heart is full of Bible truth and spiritual songs and psalms and hymns, you can't help but speak of those things because that is what is inside. When I pastored up in Ohio, the last church I pastored up there, we had some teenage boys come and some men. They'd come to church and man, especially this time of the year, they'd be talking about the professional football and college football and professional basketball started up. And man, they talked about that until Sunday school started and boom, they'd stop and they'd hear the Sunday school lesson soon. They didn't even get out of Sunday school class. They start talking about football again. And you know why they wouldn't talk about Cincinnati Bengals, I don't know. But they did. That's where we up there in Cincinnati, okay? But the fact of the matter is, that's what they'd talk about. And then church service would start. And sometimes I'd see them. They'd have their phone down here. And I knew they were checking the scores. But if I nailed them on it, you know what they'd say? Preacher, I got my Bible on my phone. Yeah. They did have their Bible on their phone, they weren't looking at it, all right, at that particular time. Now, let me ask you. Why did they do that? I mean, as soon as church was over again, they'd start talking football again, all the way out to the parking lot and so on and so forth. Why? Okay. Because that's their treasure. That's their treasure. their treasure in their hearts. Hey, consider who you are. Consider what you say. And number three, and I'm close with this, consider where you're headed. Look at verse number 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now, obviously, folks, we do not believe that this does away with faith and grace. When the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that is still there. That is a cardinal doctrine of the Lord Jesus and His Word. Man is still saved by grace. He's still saved through faith. And Jesus is not canceling that out and saying that there's another way to be saved. That's not what He's doing here. We're justified on the merits of our faith in Christ alone. But that faith is demonstrated through what you say and how you live. It is there, okay? It's demonstrated by what you are. If it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it's not a goat. It's a duck. It's not rocket science, okay? It's not that difficult. It really is not that difficult. In James, let's see if I got this here. In James chapter 3 and in verse 17. Let me read this to you. You don't have to turn. It says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. If we want to be righteous and as God's people, we do. If you're saved today, you want to be righteous. You want to live a righteous life. The Bible here clearly says the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And by the way, peace is, in Galatians 5, peace is part of the fruit of the Spirit. Isn't it? Yeah, it really is. You see, your words become the criteria how you're judged and that you are judged by. Revelation 20, verse 12 says this, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Now, you know what was written in those books? Your works. Your words. Your life. That's what's written in those books. Okay? This is not judgment to determine whether you get to heaven or not. That's already taken care of. Okay, but we are accountable, and we will be held accountable by our words, by our works, and by our life. In Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter number 7, in verse 16 says, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? In other words, whatever the root is, that's what the fruit's going to be. Okay, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. There it is again. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. We've established that. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. By my fruits, you're going to know me. I may not want you to know that part of me, but that's what you know. Because that's who I am. See? That's who you are. You've heard the saying. I grew up with this. long time ago. It said you can fool some of the people some of the time. No, you can fool some of the people all of the time and all of the people some of the time, but you can't fool mom. You ever hear that? Huh? I grew up with that. And whoever wrote that must have known my mom. Because she had 14 eyes in the back of her head. I don't know how she found all this stuff out. Actually, I was too stupid to fool mom. But the fact of the matter was, you know, you can fool some of the people all the time, and you can fool all the people some of the time. And the sad part about that is a lot of times you even fool yourself into believing you're getting away with it. But my friend, listen to me. You need to consider who you are. Are you a child of God or are you not? You have to be honest with you. You need to consider what you say. That's an indication of who you are. And you need to consider where you are headed. Because if you're corrupt, what did it say there in Matthew chapter 7? Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. You don't want to go there. You really don't. But you can change that. You can change your heart by putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He loves you, my friend. He paid the price for your sin. The wages of sin is death. There's no way to get around that. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's a gift. You don't earn it. You don't pay for it. You receive a gift because Jesus already paid for it. Several years ago when I proposed to my wife, I had a ring. In fact, it'll be 52 years tomorrow that I proposed to her. If you're married 52 and you clap, God bless you. Those of you that haven't been married 52, don't clap till you get there. But I had a ring in my pocket. And I was so excited to give it to her. I was hoping she'd say yes. And she did. And I gave that to her and she wore that. I'm telling you, that thing sparkled at midnight. And it didn't cost her a dime. But it cost me everything. I was in the Navy. Enough said. It was a gift. That gift, when I wasn't even there, she could look at it and she could say, "He loves me." God has a better gift. He has eternal life. And He will give that to you. And like my wife, you have to receive it or it's not yours. And He bought it. He's got it. He wants you to have it. Because He loves you. Not because you're perfect. You don't have to change anything. I didn't see any flaws in her. She knew all of her flaws. But this is the other way around. God knows all of my flaws, and He still loves me anyhow. And my friend, if you're not saved today, if you're not a child of God, He loves you anyhow. But you must receive that gift. Or like the corrupt tree that he talks about, you'll end up in the fire one day. And you don't want to go there. You don't want to. Be honest with yourself today. Just be honest with yourself. Let's all stand to our feet.